What is up, fine people? So glad that you're here joining us for MyFi. Make sure you're following us on social media. Right now, like wherever you're listening, open your phone up, go to your thing, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever it is, at MyFi Podcast is the handle, wherever you're at MyFi Podcast, go follow, and then subscribe wherever you're at. Just hit subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Amazon or Spotify, watching the video or YouTube or whatever, hit subscribe. Make sure that you're getting all the notifications and whatnot. Got Sid Seth on the show. He's a great pop artist, lives in New York City, is originally from India, so he has some great stories about just growing up with all these incredible different influences in music. It's really great conversation I had. Super kind. Got a great trajectory. He just released a single about a month ago called Hopeless War. There's a couple other tracks on that we talk about as well that are attached to that single. And let's just get into it, I guess. Yes. Here we go. Another episode, episode 30. It's kind of a milestone, I guess. 30 episodes in. We just celebrated a year anniversary at MyFi. Posted a little bit about that on Instagram. So shout out and thanks to anyone who has listened to the show, shared the show, talked about the show with friends, enjoyed the show. Shout out to all of our guests. I gave a shout out to every single guest we've had over the course of our first year a couple weeks ago on social media. And I'm really, really grateful. It's been really fun getting to know different people, hearing different people's musical journeys and who's influenced and inspired them and all that sort of thing. That's what MyFi is all about. It's not lo-fi or hi-fi, it's MyFi. It's the stories of how music has influenced and inspired people, and it never gets old. It never gets old to me because I love music, and if you're listening, you probably do too. So I got Sid Seth on the show. He's a pop artist, lives in New York City, and he's originally from India. He's been in the States about 6 years, did school over here, and then hung around to start his music career. He's got a wide array of influences and things, and it was a great conversation. It got me thinking about just solo pop artists that I've been into recently and records that I've loved, and I think it's really easy to go like, big on this because there's a lot of pop artists that are huge. It's called pop for a reason. You know what I'm saying? It's popular. These artists are generally pretty massive. They're pretty popular, hence the name of the genre. You know what I'm saying? And so I tried to steer a little bit left to center, but the last one I'm going to talk about is huge pop star, so I can't get away from it. But I want to talk about four pop singers, pop artists that I'm kind of into right now, or definitely into, not kind of into, very into. And the first of those is called OK Kennedy. OK Kennedy is an artist from Atlanta. She's been on the show before, actually, and released a couple of singles. She has a whole album worth of stuff done and is just waiting to release that in the right way. I've gotten to hear some of it, and it is just fantastic. I call it like alternative pop. She's an incredible singer, songwriter, the first two tracks are just great. Young, Dumb, and Naive is awesome. She has a song called Dress Better that's been on some massive playlists on Apple Music and Spotify as well. So go listen to those two songs, Young, Dumb, and Naive, and Dress Better. Nowhere to go but up for OK Kennedy. She's out there killing it. She's got a great band, great production, great people on her team, and just really, really, really great. An R&B kind of pop artist that I've been super, super into is Raye, R-A-Y-E. Maybe you've heard of her. She's blowing up. She's a pretty big artist. She had a song called Escapism that I heard on a playlist over the Christmas holidays there at the end of 2022. I added it to a playlist, and it's just great. But the whole record, I think it's called 21st Century Blues. I didn't write that down, but I think that's what the record's called, if I remember correctly. The whole record didn't come out until the beginning of 2023. And so you should definitely go check that out. She is a very mindful songwriter, incredible artist. She has a great vibe, look, like she knows who she is and what she's singing about. And she's just put together well, and she's an advocate for a lot of great things and just an incredible person, it seems. So you should go check out Raye and check out her record. The next artist I want to mention, I was looking up to make sure because he just had another single come out last week and I didn't remember the name of it, but his name is Nate Curry. Nate Curry is an R&B soul kind of pop singer, kind of along the lines of Khalid and that kind of pop R&B sort of thing. He had a single come out a few weeks ago called Show You. And then just like a week or so ago, he had a song called Straight To It come out. They're all from a forthcoming record that's going to release on May 30th. And the music's just super cool, interesting, super short songs, really accessible, catchy, like the songs end and you're like, wait, that was it? Like, I want more of this, which is always a good place to leave listeners. So Nate Curry, he's a guy from California, again, incredible R&B, soul, pop, singer, songwriter, artist. Go check him out. He's dropped a couple singles, got a full-length record coming out on May 30th. And last, this one's big, but I can't get around it. And in 2022, I listened to this record. It's also the featured record of this episode. The Dua Lipa Future Nostalgia record, I could not get away from in 2022. I listened to that thing a ton on my Apple Music. I forgot what it's called, Replay, Apple Music Replay. It's like Spotify Wrapped, but I'm an Apple Music guy. So it was the thing I listened to the most in 2022. I just recently watched this episode. There's a show on Netflix called Song Exploder, and they take a song over the course of about a half hour, and they talk to the artist and the producers and some of the players on the record and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's just about one song. And they just did an episode not too long ago. The newest episode of it is with Dua Lipa's Love Again. Great song. And they really tore it apart. It's really fun to see how everything was constructed and where it comes from, demo stage and songwriting stage. And they talked to all the producers and vocal producers. All that sort of stuff is great. And so I was just on that again. I pulled the record up the other day. I was just like, gosh, this is really an unstoppable pop album. It's really great. I was in Chattanooga hanging out with a friend a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, actually, and picked up the Future Nostalgia Moonlight Edition on vinyl there at Yellow Racket Records in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And it sounds great. It's a great record. I worry sometimes with modern records because you know they're made on Pro Tools. Are they, or digitally? Sorry, if you don't make music, maybe you don't know what Pro Tools is, but it's like the digital way that everybody makes records on computers nowadays. And sometimes that doesn't always translate to vinyl really well, but this record sounds awesome. And, you know, pop music, especially Dua Lipa, like being so danceable and stuff like that. There's a lot of, you know, Nile Rodgers style guitars on there and a bunch of cool synth stuff, and everything comes across really well. The record sounds really great. So that's just some of the pop artists that I've been into, solo pop stars I've been into. OK Kennedy, Ray, Nate Curry, Dua Lipa. Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa is the record of the week, the record of the episode, the featured record. Yeah. But today, we got Sid Seth on the show. He is a rising pop singer and songwriter who's originally from India, but currently lives in New York, multi-instrumentalist. He was featured in Rolling Stone India. He just released a brand new single called Hopeless War. And that single actually has two extra tracks attached to it called Simple Yet True and Caffeine High, both incredible songs. And he's currently he's working on more new music, just getting out there. We talk a little bit about how he's trying to put out some tunes that really show the bookends of who he is, like how far he can go. Not the songs don't sound alike from one song to the other. They're all kind of different vibe. And he's got a plan. He's a good dude. Really fun conversation. So kind. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation that I had with my friend Sid Seth. So let's jump in. Sid, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Where are you at? You're in New York?
Yeah, I'm at New York. First of all, thank you so much for having me here. Yeah, I hope these noises are not going to bother you. There's a little bit of construction going on outside.
Oh, no. I'm guessing, I mean, if you're in New York City, there's construction going outside of everyone's window, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, it's always the scaffolding. It's always something or the other going on. So, yeah.
For sure, man.
Again, in New York, and how's everything with you?
Good, man. Good. How long you been living in New York?
I want to say about 6 years now. We're in May, so in August it'll be 6 years. Nice. Yeah, it's quite some time.
What and where are you from? Tell me where you're from originally.
I'm originally from India. I'm from a smaller town. I don't want to say a smaller town because if someone watches this from a small from that town, they're just going to be like, "We're 12 million people."
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to be like, "Sure." So it's Ahmedabad. That's where I'm from. It's a city near Mumbai, and yeah, that's where I'm from, and I grew up over there, and I came over here 6 years ago, and I've been doing what I'm doing.
That's fantastic, man. Yeah. I love the, I listened to the Hopeless War. You call it, it's called a single, but it's sort of a short EP. I mean, there's three songs on there, and Caffeine High is a great tune. That's, that was the one I kept going back to listening over and over again. Yeah, man, it's great. Did you, when you grew up, I mean, obviously I've always been fascinated by music. From India. Yeah. I mean, you guys have notes there that we don't have, like quarter tones, like notes in between our notes. And so the music is so interesting and everything. Like, how did you get into music when you were young? Did your parents play music or your siblings or whatever?
Yeah, so it was my mom and dad. My mom especially had a lot of influence in terms of my taste. And my dad really explored a lot of genres with me. So my mom introduced me to artists like Simon and Garfunkel, Beatles, Carpenters, Boney M, and so on. You know, like that was like the whole thing. And she would always like play these records and I would really love them. And I would connect with it. It was always just playing in the house. Yeah. Whereas my dad would play more of like old school Bollywood music or like classical music and Indian music. And he himself, he's a very good singer. So he would sing and I would get a taste of that. So I guess it's a mishmash of all of that, that it kind of just happened to be. It wasn't like I was searching for it to be, but I guess it was like a mishmash of all of this. And that kind of what happened and how it influenced all my music in general. Yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah. And you've just been here 6 years, but obviously you've been listening to pop music for a really long time because your sound seems really defined. It's not all over the place. Like, you know what you're doing and the sound is really consistent. The song's really consistent. I mean, you've had to have studied pop music and listened to pop music your whole life. And I'm always just curious with people from other cultures, how readily available, I'm sure with like Spotify and you know, Apple Music and all that, everything's readily more available. But growing up in that household with, you know, the more traditional classical Indian influence from your dad and like the classic pop rock, it seems like, from your mom.
Yeah.
How did that come together for you to form the sound that you did, I guess?
I think it was like, so from them, I got that. But like, you know, all my friends, they would like, we were growing up and then they would be like listening to Coldplay and then I would listen to Coldplay. Then they would listen to Green Day. I would listen to Green Day. They would suddenly listen to Nirvana. Then again, I would get into Nirvana. So it was like all over the place. Like there was rock, there was hip hop. Beyonce was there. Rihanna was there. So it's like, it's all these artists that kept coming. And I think an overarching theme that I really liked, and I started connecting, like, what is something that is connecting with me was like more of these pop soul records. So something like Stevie Wonder, Young MJ, and so many other artists, Sam Cooke, all that started connecting with me, like the pop soul sound. You can even say it in some ways, Elvis. Those were the sounds that really connected with me. And it was a strong melody. So if you just broadly generalize Indian music, it's a lot more focused towards melody. And and it's very melodic driven music. So I guess in general, what I found as a common theme in pop music that at least I like, and even the music that is played on the radio till date, is very strong melodies. And that's what drew me in. And if it had a storytelling aspect to that with a good vocalist, I was like, okay, I'm sold. So that was it. Like that's the whole recipe that I always just, you know, get attracted towards. Whenever even I'm hearing a new song, if they just give me a good song, a good melody and a great voice, that's it. There's just something about that. And it's so cliche and you're like,
no.
but that's what kind of attracted to me.
Yeah. No. That's not cliche at all. I think that I'm pleasantly surprised and excited just how well versed you are in pop music and everything. Was this? Let me ask this: Do many of these artists? Did you get to see many of these artists before you came to America? Did they tour India, Asia? Like,
so the only one that I saw that I was really blown away was Coldplay. So that was in 2016. And they did a tour with Global Citizen, but they did like an extended thing. They did, I don't know what, it was not exactly like Global Citizen New York, because I was fortunate enough to see them 2 years ago, three, I don't know, over here. And it was amazing. But there was just something so magical about the Mumbai one. It was in the grounds. It was like really a lot of people. I want to say at least 100,000 people.
Wow.
So it was like a lot of people. And I was like somewhere really in the back. And I was watching the show with a friend of mine. And we were like, yeah, this is amazing. And we had a great time. And it was amazing. The concert ended surprisingly, and it was not like one of their show-stopping songs that it ended on. And I was just like, okay, I guess it's not a Coldplay show, so that's it. It's done. And it stopped. I really thought it was going to be like an encore. We kept shouting, you know, give us more and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It was their hits, you know. But they just stopped, and they didn't sing for about 20 minutes. And we all left from the back, and I started moving towards the front of the stage, like, but outside the grounds. And suddenly I heard, I want to assume it was Sky Full of Stars, but I don't know which one was it. It was one of the pop records. I heard it and I was like, they're back. And I just saw a VIP entrance. I didn't care. I just ran inside.
That's awesome. Inside,
and I went straight up in the front and I was seeing Chris Martin literally right in front of my eyes. And I was,
oh my gosh, man.
It was so good. And I heard it for like 45 minutes and they played all the hits. They played like Viva La Vida. They played, you know, and they ended the concert with Up and Up. And I was like blown away. And that was like, that really just sold it to me. I was like, wow, that's how it's done. And it was still what, I wouldn't say 15 to 18 years in their career. And they were doing that. If I'm saying 2016, they started what, 1998, 96? I don't know.
Yeah, 97, so they started. Yeah.
So yeah, that's like really deep in their career. And yeah. So much energy, so much confidence, so much catalog. I was blown away. I was like, wow. I mean, you behave younger than me. I was like, that's amazing.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah. That was amazing.
I can make the connection because, I mean, obviously I see guitars behind you. And you know, is that how you normally write, more like rock pop? You write most of the stuff on guitar? Was that your instrument that you picked up first?
The one that I picked up first, yeah. I mean, it was the guitar, but yeah, I write between piano and guitar. So these are my two, but I keep like throwing curves balls at myself. Like recently, I was just like writing something to a beat, and there was just no melodic element to that. And I was just trying out something new. Sometimes I just write it to weird sounds, and I'm just like, what can I come up with that? Can I come up with a hook from that weird sound? So sometimes it's just the randomest things, and I'm just like, can I make sense out of that? I don't know. Yeah. So, but these two are more of the generalized ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you talk about the Coldplay show in 2016? Do you remember the first concert you ever saw, and who that was?
Honestly, I can't put a pinpoint on who that would be, but it would definitely be one. Probably a Bollywood show, but I just can't tell you who, because I don't remember. It must be when I was really young. But yeah, something that really influenced me a lot was the Coldplay one. That really moved me for some reason. I don't know why. Because I even saw them again, and I was, of course, unbelievable. But that particular show, it just moved me. Yeah.
You saw them again in India, or you saw them in the States?
No, I saw them in New York, and that was really nice. Yeah. So we went to Central Park, and they had that... you know, the Coldplay show with a lot of other cool artists. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Now, explain to me a little bit, because I know, you know, I've heard the term Bollywood and I've seen some of the visuals and things, but I don't know exactly what that genre of music is. So what like makes something a Bollywood song?
Musical theater, make it a little pop and add it on and put some steroids on it. That's Bollywood, in short. I would just say pop music in general would be Bollywood.
Yeah, so more like Hamilton or...
There you go.
Okay, like a musical theater thing.
Yeah, but it's not like in general, like in musical theater, you would literally have, you know, whatever, an actor going like, okay, I am dying. And then they'll suddenly start singing about their death. I'm like, okay, we get it. And then they've already passed away and they're still singing. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, that won't happen in Bollywood. It's more about just the songs. And it would be like, okay, I'm experiencing XYZ emotion. Break. You're going to have that song kind of a thing. So that's the main thing about it, I would say. But in general, in terms of the sound of it, it's always very pop leaning, and it's very much at par with, you know, just the global music scene in general. Like if you hear current Bollywood music, also you'll hear a lot more of the techno influence and a little bit of on one side, and another side of Bollywood music, you'll hear a lot of hip hop influence, and so it's like very much at par with the world scene in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Does any of the classical? So it makes sense how you got to pop music from that. Then, you know, if that's what your dad was playing, you know, around the house and kind of where you guys grew up.
Yeah.
Are there any of the classical Indian music influences, like some of if you're listening to this and you don't know like music theory or something, this may seem foreign to you, but like Indian music has notes within our notes. So we have, you know, 12 notes in our scale in the West, but like there's quarter tones in there, and that's why sitars and things like that sound so cool and so interesting and so otherworldly to people like me who grew up, you know, in the States and stuff. Is there any of that influence in your music? Because I've heard artists like Sting or people like that who've partnered with these Indian singers, and you can it's so interesting how those quarter tones and things work in their music. Do you pull any of that into what you do at all?
I think as of now, I've not specifically composed anything of that, but one of the major thing that I keep going back towards is just a strong usage of melodies. There is just something about, if you hear in general Indian melodies, that's why it's sampled in most of the rap songs, if you hear, or even like Britney Spears songs and all, you'll hear like a Bollywood reference. You know, there's a reason for that, because it's so melodically heavy, that music. But yeah, I grew up singing a lot of Indian classical music. I would sing ragas, and I would sing Hindustani folk songs. And then I transitioned into classical song, like Western classical, and I would sing opera. Was both of that. So I think all of that kind of influenced me in some way or the other. But I think if I have to narrow it down, what exactly, it would be the choice of melodies. Because all of these music, in general, all of that music is, even if you like reduce all the instruments and all of that from it, you can sing that a cappella. It's not like you need another instrument to support it. And that's what I feel like any good song can do that. You know, if you pick up, I don't know, any of the, like take, even if you take a Coldplay song, you take an Adele song or Bruno Mars song, something, you can sing that without an instrument and it'll stand. If you take like a Stevie Wonder song, again, same story. So that's what I think I try to do always. Let the song stand on its own without any other, you know, thing helping it in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You, last couple of days I've been listening to the Hopeless War single EP. Yeah. And I know that's the latest thing that just came out like a month or so ago, right?
Yeah. It's been, almost a month now. Yeah.
Nice, man. And there's three tunes on it: Hopeless War, Caffeine High, Simple Yet True. Yeah. Are you leading towards a full-length record with this?
I'm just trying to get more singles out at the moment, and I'm doing that as of now. But yes, I have a lot of songs that are already written, and they are lying on my laptop. Nice. Some of them just like recorded and just with me at the moment. But it's me as an artist also has to line up with it and just have to make sense of the kind of story I'm telling. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make sense that, you know, I just release everything in one go as of now. But yeah, when the time's right, you're going to hear a lot more songs.
Is there something coming up that you already, you got the one ready to go that will release in June, July? Like what's the next step?
That is actually the next step. I do have another song that's coming up probably in June, July. It's again a different sounding record. It doesn't sound like any of the songs that I've released. And it's a fresh take. At this moment, I'm just, you know, introducing my audience to different shades of me rather than being like, okay, this is a sit sound. And I'm like, okay, I can do that probably a little later. Currently, I want to just show different shades that I can do and, you know, I have access to it. Because it's very complex and all the kind of music that I keep listening to. Because one minute I'm going to be listening to rap music. The other moment I'll be listening to Bollywood. The other moment I'm listening to, I don't know, Nigerian artists. So it's like pretty random. Yeah. So I do want to have what is said out of all of that. I want to make sense out of that, if that makes sense. It can be randomized, but it has to be intentional. So I'm very excited about the next single.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, just growing up in India, coming to the States, the way you're talking about music, like, I grew up and I don't think I listened to anything but rock and hip hop until I was probably in college, and then started listening to, like, electronic stuff and, you know, things like that. But I just wonder, coming from growing up in India, it seems like you were immediately aware that music was this global thing, where I really wasn't. Like, I listened to pretty much American, maybe some British. You know, I'm a huge Stones fan, so I've listened to them a long time.
Yeah.
But it was kind of an American English-speaking sort of sound that I would always listen to. But coming from a totally different culture, it just seems like the way you talk about it, you have this respect for and connection to all these different kinds of Nigerian music and you know, Indian music and all that sort of stuff. Does that play into what you create?
Definitely. So if I talk specifically back in India, if you just generally meet people, you're going to have a lot of people who are just going to say that they like Bollywood music, or they like, you know, American pop music. You'll see whatever's going to be on the radio. You're going to hear them, the top 10 singles, top 50, that's going to be played, you know, in supermarkets and everywhere, and you're going to hear them pretty often.
Sure.
So for sure, those are there. But again, like, that also creates a leeway, because pop is so generalized, it could be anything, you know. You could have tomorrow a singer-songwriter thing that is number one, and the next day you could have, like, I don't know, again, as I mentioned, maybe a rap song that's number one. But they are, like, pulled apart in terms of genres. But I guess being pop connects them in some way. And I guess just having that kind of an access, and just, you know, a lot of my friends would listen to varied kind of music, and I would always be open to listening what they like. Like, I never had a taste when I was growing up being like, I am the rock guy, I am the pop guy. No, I never cared about that. I just get, is it good music or not? That's all. And can I stand it more than 30 minutes? After a lot of time I've tried, heavy metal is the only one that I can't stand after 30 minutes. But except that, every single genre, I can listen to it. I can go to the concert and appreciate whatever they're doing. Even atonal music, I'm like, okay, we get it. You're doing something. But you know, it's just, I've realized that the more you can just appreciate just different kind of music, it somehow just affects you in some way. And then you create something. It's just always like, you know, one of my professors in school, would always say, I would always be like, how do you create music or something like that? And he'd be like, you know, you're listening to pop today. Tomorrow you're listening to rock. So imagine you're like a blender, and all of that I'm putting in. And they, after tomorrow, you're just going to switch on that blender. And whatever comes as the end product, that's your pop sound. Yeah. And I would always be like, oh my God. And now I understand what you're saying, because it would be so random, but still it would make sense at the end of the day, because you're still finding some connection in that randomness that connects with you. And for me, it would be like melodies or vocals or something like that. But I would draw inspiration from all of that. So yeah, it was just thankful that my mom would take me back to the 60s and 70s. But, like, you know, my cousins would take me back to now. Some of them would, like, push me with further music, and some of them would just be very general about their tastes. It was quite random. But it worked out in that way. And I'm grateful that I just had so much access to music. And then in America itself, I was very fortunate, because I would always ask my friends, I would be like, what are you listening to? And I still always ask people, what are you listening to? And I'm generally interested, even though I like it or not, that's another story. But I'll always be like, tell me, what are you listening to? So I don't go back to the same artist again and again. I'll go to a few just if I want to, you know, understand some vocal things or something like that. That's another story. But except that, if I want to just introduce myself to new music, I'll just keep listening to something new that I've not heard.
Yeah, see, I grew up in the era where, at least in, like, early high school, where, like, you kind of picked, like, I'm the rock guy. Like you were saying, but, like, I was an alternative dude. Like, when I was in my freshman year of high school, was right after, it was the grunge era. So Nirvana had hit, and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and all that stuff. Yeah. And I had grown up with hair metal and got my first guitar at that time and all that sort of stuff. And so I loved it all, but I was the rock guy. And I also listened to some hip hop, but I hated country music. And I, you know, I was very clear about that to people. Now, as I got older, I was like, gosh, country music's fantastic. And this, and I'm like you, there's really nothing that I don't listen to. You know, I have a playlist that I've added to since 04, since like iTunes, 03, 04, whenever iTunes came out.
Yeah.
And it has like 700 songs in it, and they are just, I hit shuffle on that thing and it's like all over the place too. So like, I'm with you on that now, but I just didn't grow up that way. So I think it took me a while to appreciate all those things and let all of those things start to inform the music that I make too. And I think that's what has the potential and why I think that what you're doing is so interesting. The three tunes on the Hopeless War single, like you said, they all kind of have their own vibe. Mm-hmm. And I think you pulling together some different things. I'm excited to hear what you got going on in the future. Is there now, I know you have stuff all over the place kind of stylistically, but it's pop music. Is there an artist out there that you're like, man, if I could go on the road and open for them, it would be this person?
Wow. Not thought about that. Many artists I can just think of. I'd love to open for Ed Sheeran. That would be amazing. Nice. If I can do that. Ed Sheeran, Adele, but she's not doing tours, so I don't know if I have to go to the Vegas residency.
Yeah. For that.
Bruno Mars, that would be amazing. But again, he's just doing a residency. So yeah, some of those artists, that would be amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because again, like all of them also, like I just feel like their music is so diverse in terms of, if you just hear the overall catalog, it's a sound of theirs that we are so accustomed to it now. But if you just dissect every single song, you're going to be like, oh, this song is like this, and the other one's something else. But it's pop, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's what I like about them.
Yeah. Were you in bands growing up?
I was in one band, which is terrible. And we did covers of The Fray. And it was I was the youngest one in that band. And of course, being the youngest, couldn't say much. Zipped. I was like, yes, you're right.
What did you play guitar?
I played the electric guitar, not this one, but I played the electric guitar and I would sing. It was just bad. It was just terrible.
Everybody's first band, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just bad. I can't even tell you what the name was or anything like that, but I just have memories of those and I'm just like, okay, band is not for you.
So now do you pretty much work alone? Like the tunes on the Hopeless War single, is that pretty much you playing everything or do you have producers?
No. I really like to collaborate with artists and producers specifically. So I really enjoy that process a lot more. And of course, whenever I'm just doing a show, which is a little more extended than my acoustic sets, I even have like, you know, some friends of friends or someone who I know who's a good bass player or a guitarist and all. They come and like, you know, help me with my set and they form the full band experience. So I really like that. But in terms of these singles, I work with two different producers on them. The first two was with one and the second one was the newer producer. And they just have great stylistic elements of their own. So I tell my story to them and I play it for them raw and then I wait for their response. And, you know, it's a collaboration and then we take it forward and we produce it together. So it's really fun.
Nice, man. So tell me what your live shows look like. Sometimes with pop artists, it's mostly like an acoustic thing.
Yeah.
Or until they get to the point where they're like, no, I want the full band thing. And when we go out on tour, I want it to be a 4 or 5 piece. And you know, then you see bands as you know, as pop stars get bigger, you know, they're full up. But like, what does your live show look like?
Yeah, currently mine is like in the front state. So it's just me with the guitar kind of a situation. But I'm glad, you know, I had stopped playing guitar for the longest time. And this was like out of necessity that I started playing one more time. I kind of learned myself to, I would say, a decent level of fluency to play the piano, where I could just play some good pop chords or add some sevens, add nines, make it sound jazzy and fun, yay. And, you know, I would play in these small venues in New York, and I would be like, that's fine. But a lot of them don't have pianos, and I would just get very mad at it because I was like, I can't do anything. How do I perform? And I would be fine. Like I actually did in one venue where I performed a cappella. People enjoyed it. But I was I can't pull off a whole set with that. Sure, there must be some people who'd enjoy it, but not a whole set.
Yeah.
Or at least I didn't have the confidence that people would enjoy it. So I spoke to a friend of mine and I was like, well, let me just borrow your guitar and I'm going to try. So I just started playing one more time and then I really practiced. And after that, after a lot of practice, I took this guitar and I went to like a small open mic. I was like, I'm just going to try this, how it goes. And it was terrible. I tried that and I sang. I sang amazing. It went off well. People really enjoyed it. But, you know, like this guitar barely has any kind of pickup, you know, and you plug in, it's fine. But the person who was doing the sound, it's an open mic. So they're just going like whatever in 1 second.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, so there's no bass. So it had a trebly sound. I was strumming it. So imagine you're going to have the trebly, this sound on your face throughout the thing. Sound that you could hear. And I was like, okay, you've really got to practice more with the plugin situation. And then when I got this one, it was nice. So yeah, then I just kept it towards acoustic side because it really sounds nice with now. I know how to balance things and make it sound really cool with an acoustic set. So I make it more of an acoustic set and it's just fun. It's very intimate and I show a very different vibe from my produced tracks because people usually hear my tracks and they go like, oh, it's produced completely. And when they hear it live, it's like a completely stripped down version the way I wrote it. And it's always a nice reaction. And I get a lot of leeway in a way to play with the track. I can have a little bit of call and response and, you know, get the audience involved also. And it's really fun that way. But yeah, I've even done shows wherein I have some other bandmates with me. But yeah, at the moment, I just stick to the acoustic world. I wish to grow it for sure because I have a lot of songs which require a lot of instruments.
Yeah.
And I would love it that, you know, I have more and more people and I grow it. But for now, it's acoustic.
Yeah. Are you going on tour soon to support some of this music?
I would love to find this supporting act situation going on. I'm in the process of that, so I can't confirm anything at the moment. But we'll hopefully confirm something soon. But yeah, at the moment, I like to keep performing in New York. So I have another show coming up in around 2 weeks at Rockwood. So that's going to be fun. If you're in New York, I'd love to see you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We were just up there on vacation. I would love to come back. New York's a great town. Did you find it? I mean, I know you're there. You said you're living kind of downtown. Did you go there for school or did you go there for music?
For school. So okay. I came here for school first. And then once I graduated, I was like, okay, got to focus on what I want to do.
Yeah. And this is it, huh? You're going hard after it.
Yeah. It's happening. Yeah. That's how it is. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, it was quite a journey from school to this. It was quite interesting because in school it can be like a lot more aligned. Everyone's doing everything for you in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you got this performance, just go and do that. Okay, great. But now it's like me waking up in the morning. Okay, I got to find another performance. I got to do that.
Did you go to school for music at NYU?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I went to Manhattan School of Music.
Oh, Manhattan School of Music. Awesome.
Yeah. And I was there for 2 years. I graduated and then you got the infamous COVID, which was very annoying for everybody. After that, I was like, all right, I'm just going to write songs and sing it. So I was very fortunate that I collaborated with my first producer after that. And we worked throughout the COVID time in creating a lot of singles. And two of them you've heard, Caffeine High and Simple Yet True. Those were just bedroom recorded songs. And the last one was much more studio one when I met another producer of mine and we did that.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I'm sure that there's a lot of places to play in New York. I'm sure, you know, and you get to see, you know, a lot of bands that you love.
Yeah.
Is there anybody you haven't seen? Like you're in New York, everybody tours New York. Is there anybody you haven't seen that you're like, oh, I got to see
this
band?
The prices are ridiculous. The prices are ridiculous.
I'm sure.
So I'm just like, Philly, can I come over?
Yeah. We'll take the train, man. Go to Philly and go see him in Philly. Yeah.
Yes, I'd really love to see this summer. To be honest, I'm really if I'm in the city, which I'm not sure, but if I am and I'm here for Governor's Ball, I'd love to see Kendrick.
Oh yeah,
that I'm like I really want to see Kendrick. So if I get to see that, and Pink Panthers, I'm so glad that she's blown up now with the Ice Spice song. So glad that happened for her. And that song, I mean, she as an artist, I've been always following her journey for a very long time now. And I really appreciate all of that. So I think she and Kendrick are on the same day. So I wish I get to see them. That would be amazing. The big tours, I don't know. I don't have $1,200 to spend as of now. Otherwise, I would go and see Beyonce, but I don't know.
Dude, I feel the same way. I mean, everybody tours Atlanta. Almost everything comes through here. I don't love the stadium show thing. Like, you know, I've seen, like, in the past couple of years, the Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta is, you know, we have a, you know, the NFL team and the MLS team and everybody, you know, it's a great venue. It's a beautiful venue. But the shows I've been to, like my wife and I saw Elton John there last year.
I love that.
I saw Metallica there.
I've seen both of them. I love both of them. They were amazing.
It was just, I don't know. I don't like the big venues, man. Like I love here in Atlanta, I love like Tabernacle and Masquerade and Buckhead Theater, you know, like the 3,000-ish Rock the Roxy, you know, I love that size. It's almost like I'm just watching a screen the whole time I'm in the bins, you know, and I don't even mind the arena. Like we have an arena called State Farm. It's about the size of the garden, probably Madison Square Garden. And I love that venue. I saw the Killers there this year.
Nice.
I saw Tom Petty there before he passed away. And it's a great venue, but the stadium just, I can't do it, man. I don't know.
I agree with you on that. I actually agree with you. I ended up watching both of them, both of the acts that you mentioned, Elton John and Metallica. Metallica, I watched it in grounds, so it was in Central Park. Well, like Elton John, I saw in MSG.
See, that'd probably be great.
Yeah, like both of them were fantastic, but I agree with you on that aspect that you're literally looking at them really minuscule way, and also you're just looking at the screen. So that definitely takes it, but I appreciate both of them because I've seen the smaller ones. I'm assuming the 3,000 ones that you're saying would be comparable to something like Radio City over here.
Yeah, or maybe like I don't know if you've been to Hammerstein Ballroom.
I got it.
Yeah, I saw Muse at the Hammerstein before they blew up. Like it must have been like 2004, 2005. It was like the very beginning of the Absolution tour.
Wow. Okay. They did MSG a few years. I don't know when. A lot of my friends went for that one. I think I'm getting it wrong otherwise. I don't know. That's
amazing. And Hammerstein wasn't even full. Like, it was crazy. Wow. It was crazy, man. It was unbelievable. I just heard of them through a friend. I ended up like getting tickets to this crazy, it's a long story, but I ended up like getting free tickets from like a radio contest in New York. And I saw Muse at the Hammerstein. It was amazing. I have seen one show at Madison Square Garden. My wife and I saw U2 and Kings of Leon there.
Nice.
Kings of Leon was only on their first album. And so they only had like, you know, they played like 13, 14 songs and didn't really say much, but I was blown away. They were so great.
Yeah.
So anyway, man, I'm sure you have a million options every weekend for concerts to go see.
I keep seeing something or the other, but I think for me, I start, you know, because I see these main acts, it's almost impossible. Everybody wants their tickets and kind of gets very difficult to get it. I'm very fortunate that I see, you know, acts that are right at the verge of becoming main acts. I get to catch them in like a smaller venue, and it's like all the true fans are there, and it's really nice. The vibe is very interesting. It's quite different from when it, you know, reaches MSG. It's a lot more like different.
Yeah. That is cool, man, because every band, no matter how small they may be, they tour New York, whether it's in like a club in Brooklyn or somewhere bigger like Hammerstein, you know, or something. Yeah. Do you feel like there's a lot of competition? Like you're in New York. Have you ever been tempted to like maybe go somewhere just a little smaller, you know? Because I'm sure there's a lot of pop artists, you know, trying to break in New York.
Yeah, sometimes I do feel that. It's kind of all over the place, but it's like, you know, I call it the heart attack life in New York. Some days you're like, down. It's just like crying and you're like, why me? And it's all of that. And you've got the rats also. It's very annoying. So it's all over the place in a way. But I guess it's the energy and most important for me, I guess it's just seeing a lot of artists way before. It's almost like you're seeing a making of an artist in a way. And a lot of these artists that you will hear in like 3, 4, 6 years, I see them pretty often and I hear them pretty often and I can see the trajectory and I can see the process. And that is really something that I appreciate. Definitely, it always tempts me also being like, okay, what about a little smaller? Would it be, you know, that big fish, small pond situation? But I don't know. There's just something. It's like New York has like that, I would say it has this magnetic thing to it.
Yeah, and no, I get it.
In some ways that you're like, should I leave it? The next moment you get your opportunity and you're like, yeah, maybe I should not. And then you just stay. So it's like, it's kind of that. But for now, I would just say the support as well as the kind of community that I have in terms of just the producers and the musicians. I just know a lot of people here, so I feel a lot more secure. In the stage that I am in at the moment, for me to just be like, okay, I want to choose another city, and I'd be like, I honestly don't know anybody over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. So I just feel New York is a lot more safer in that way for me.
Yeah. No, yeah. I appreciate that, man. And I'm sure that seeing all those artists come through and they play a club and they come through the next time they play a bigger club and they come through the next time, that's pretty inspiring to watch people's journeys too, when you can believe that for yourself. But
yeah,
I always love to ask this before we wrap up. You get your three Desert Island records. You can only listen to three for the rest of your life. What are Sid Seth's three albums?
Can I take a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to look them up?
I got to look them up. Because if they are those kind of records, I would have bought a vinyl.
Oh, okay. So you're going through the vinyl pile.
I mean, you got this.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah, okay. All right.
No, but I got to see. Wait, I'm going to pick one.
All right. I like the thought that's going into this right now.
Yeah, got to think. Got to think. Got to think. Got to think. Okay. Okay, let's do this.
All right.
Let's say Thriller.
Thriller.
Not?
Love it.
Yeah. It's a desert island. You want something to put you up. You want to get something which is a little bit more singer-songwritery and a classic again. Because why not?
Abbey Road.
Yeah, Abbey Road. Let's do that. And yeah, let's do with a modern singer-songwriter again. Let's do that.
Adele.
Yeah.
That's a solid three, dude.
Can I add Daft Punk? Why not?
Yeah, why not? Sure, sure, sure. I actually just saw the 10th anniversary of that album was this month.
Yes, and did you hear that other release, like a record session of theirs? It's pretty funny. They keep releasing like a unedited clip, and I'm always just like, what? Wait, didn't they like stop? And then I'm like, oh, it's like an unedited clip from their recording studio. And it's like them talking, and sometimes it's like a musician doing its thing, you know, their thing.
That's so cool.
It's really cool what they keep doing, and I'm just like, okay, you keep me engaged.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And I really appreciate their art, so I'm always like, okay, I'm going to listen to it.
Mm. Yeah, man. Well, dude, hey, I appreciate you being on the show, Sid.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It was really lovely speaking with you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Wish you all the best in all your music. You guys make sure you check out Sid's website, SidSeth.com. You can find him at SidSethSings on Instagram and at Sid_Seth on TikTok. Make sure you follow what he's got going on. The Hopeless War single's out right now. There's a couple other great songs attached to that. Man, I appreciate it. Wish you all the best, Sid.
You too. Thank you.
Great conversation, my friend Sid Seth. Thanks for joining us for that. Make sure you follow him. Follow him at Sid Seth Sings on Instagram and at Sid_Seth on TikTok. You also get all information about his tracks and find links to everything at SidSeth.com. He's got a great trajectory. The songs are great. The production's great on his stuff. He seems like a really inspired guy and got a really well-rounded musical background. So I can't wait to see, you know, what kind of music comes from him in the next few years. Again, Make sure you're following MyFi at MyFi Podcast everywhere. And you can check out MyFiPodcast.com for all the latest and go back and check out past episodes. You can check out the YouTube channel, you know, to watch there. You can watch on Spotify video, all that sort of stuff. We're about it. We're around. We're doing things. You know what I'm saying? We're not slowing down because it's summertime. We got a couple of great episodes on the way with some fine friends and great people just talking about the music that influences and inspires them. And so I hope you've enjoyed the show. Until next time, have a good one.